From the Seven Feathers Casino Studio, KQEN weather in the Umpqua Valley, looking for sunshine this afternoon. Yet to come, high of 76, increasing clouds, 51 tonight. Showers by tomorrow afternoon, 66 a high. Lots of rain tomorrow night, down to 55. Showers continue on Wednesday morning, then partly sunny and 71. It is 61 in Roseburg. KQEN News Time, 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We have a few more programs at our Back to School series, and today, Anna Alicia Nicholson joins us, the superintendent of the Douglas Education Service District. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, remind people, because not everybody always gets this, what is the Douglas ESD?
Always happy to share what the ESD is and what we do. We're an education service district, and so we are here to provide collaborative, high-quality, equitable, and locally responsive educational services to our community. So part of our work is working with our 13 component school districts, so it's all the districts in Douglas County with the exception of Reedsport. They're served by a different ESD. And we provide special education services to kids with more complex special education needs, general education, so helping districts with instruction, administrative services, human resources, technology, business communications. And then the other part of our organization is early learning. And the biggest piece of that is the early intervention, early childhood special education program, which supports children with developmental needs who are under the age of five. So before they enter school, they're getting services to support their needs. And then we have various other early learning programs, the South Central Early Learning Hub, the Child Care Resource and Referral, the Parenting Hub, and a few other organizations that are out there supporting kids in their early years.
So a lot going on, but also the fact that it's not just in Douglas County.
Yeah, so we actually, our early learning programs expand to Jackson, Klamath, and Lake counties.
And is that just the way it worked out with the other ESDs, or how did that come together?
Yeah. There's different stories based on the program, but when the state was introducing the early learning hubs, which is a statewide program, we applied with an application for two other counties to include Klamath and Lake, and then all of our other various programming followed that suit because it made sense to have that collection of programs being served by the same entity.
So how long have you been at ESD?
This is my 16th year.
And how long have you been running the joint?
The start of my third year.
So what's it feel like now compared to 3 years ago?
I think now I have a much more deeper understanding of the expansive programs that we offer. I was in, I spent, 14 years in a smaller division of our program, Ed Services, and so now I have a much deeper understanding of the work we do in the community and the work we do to serve kids, especially in with kids 0 to 5.
And how does the school year seem to be going so far?
It's off to a good start. Our field staff are out and about providing services. There are 13,000 students in the Douglas ESD region. Lots of positive energy, and everyone's ready to support kids with their learning and their growth. And our early learning programs, for the most part, operate year-round, so they just kind of get to hit fresh start on the fall and keep moving forward.
So how many staff does Douglas ESD have currently?
We have 316 staff members.
Wow, a lot to keep track of. But how many of those are outside of Douglas County?
So about 90 of our staff members work in Jackson, Klamath, and Lake. Most of those staff members are in Jackson, where we have the second early intervention, early childhood special education program that serves Jackson County.
And how many new staff did you have to hire for this fall?
My HR team was busy this summer, 25 new hires since July.
And a lot of districts that I've talked to so far, this was a year that more openings came about. is it more difficult to find people?
It feels that way. I think we've been really fortunate to find qualified staff to serve our students in programs. But if it does, over the last 10 or so years, the pools of applicants, especially in our highly specialized special education, say that five times fast, special education fields, the pools are a little smaller, and recruitment is really important in those areas.
Do you, any idea why it's getting harder?
I think a couple of reasons. Retirement. So you've got a large group of people who are on the other end of their career and ready to go off and retire. And then just kind of what I was saying, with physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech language therapists, folks who are highly specialized in SPED, it's just... finding those folks with those specialized degrees is a little bit more challenging. We have found success with that, but it is a statewide, if not national, issue in those specialized areas.
Because it would seem like about 10 years ago or so, if you posted those openings, you probably would have had a lot more applicants.
Yeah. There are some positions we always have open because we're always in need of those folks. But the positions I just mentioned, you've probably interacted with those folks in the medical community as well. So they're serving both K-12 and medical. And so that's two sectors that need these folks.
Now, do you have any, new programs at ESD this fall?
We don't have anything brand new. We've really been focusing on enhancing our current programs based on the needs of students, families, and communities. We try to do our best to connect with our audiences and see what they need. We have added to some of our programs. So we have a youth mentor program, which are folks that mentor what we have been mentoring high school students and helping them stay engaged in school and stay motivated to get that diploma, which we know is really important. And now we're expanding that down into middle school, which is super exciting. And that's a grant that we've received to do that. We're Preschool Promise enrollment, always hoping to get all of those slots filled so kids are getting access to high-quality preschool. And again, we're always just trying to be strategic about what kids need and enhancing our programs that way.
Talk about the Preschool Promise program for a minute. Maybe explain what that is.
Sure. So it's a state-funded program for families to enroll in preschool. It's based on income levels, and there are programs throughout the county that have what we call slots available to families who are in need of preschool. So if you have more questions, you can contact the South Central Early Learning Hub, and they can answer those.
And as you look at all the programs that ESD offers, there is so much going on there. I'm surprised there's not more than one of you in a way.
I've got a great team of directors over each of our divisions, and teamwork makes the dream work. And so I'm so fortunate. And we have, as I said, we have 315 really talented staff. I'm so proud of them and the work they do every day for kids.
Now, to fund all of this, seems like it's probably complex in terms of funding streams based on federal, state programs, and money from districts and all that.
Yeah, so ESD's budget is made up, our revenue sources comes from a variety. The largest, the portion of our funding is state and federal contracts and grants. We also receive general fund, similar to school districts. And then because we're always trying to do unique and innovative work, we have philanthropic grants to help us kind of go out and try something.
Interesting. A lot going on with ESD. We'll talk more about it in a moment. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247 Lars Larson coming up at 1 tomorrow on Inside Douglas County. Dr. Rachel Pockrat, president of Umpqua Community College, will be in. We're going to start three programs related to the college back-to-back as they get ready to celebrate their 60th anniversary on Saturday. You'll be hearing a lot more about some of the events that are going on. From the Douglas Educational Service District, Superintendent Annalisa Nicholson is in talking about the role of ESD as part of our back-to-school series. I want to back way up and ask you when you realized you wanted to be in education.
That could back way up too. My mom is a teacher. She's retired, but I think she'll always be a teacher. So I was around the classroom for most of my life. I'd made the decision, not ever would I want to do that. And, I went to college and really fell in love with health and wanted to be on the preventative side. And it just grew on me that teaching would be the place to talk to kids about health and all of the things that go along with teaching health. And that's how I got into teaching.
And do you ever look back and just, to start one direction and then just sort of make a shift like that? It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I was public health. And then also, I think that when I graduated was not the best time in the economy. And so it kind of drives you on a different path than you thought. So glad I did it, though.
So for the ESD, we've talked before about technology. So much has changed what's available to teachers, even the things that ramped up during the pandemic. Anything new in technology that's impacting teaching?
Yeah, tech is it's the constant change in education. There's always so many new tools, and the tools that excite me the most are the tools that help kids learn. And so if you have a student who is struggling with communication, there are devices that can help them. And I was in a classroom last year, and I was watching this child who was trying to find their word. They couldn't find it. They hit the icon on the iPad. It said the word, and it just changed their experience with learning because people knew they were able to communicate what it is they needed to say. And so watching technology just enable kids to learn and actually, more importantly, demonstrate what they know is really important. And Douglas ESD helps a lot with getting that technology out into classrooms.
And it seems in situations like that, when your learning style is a little bit different based on a number of factors, that it's easy to assume that you maybe don't know as much as you actually do. It's that your shortfall or area where you need help is in communicating what you know.
Yeah, and there's so many devices out there and just accessibility tools that are available now to kids that didn't exist 10 years ago that really allow them to demonstrate what they know. And it's huge. It's huge for kids. We're sitting here speaking and I can understand you clearly and that brings a lot of joy and we want every kid to have that opportunity.
So for the technology, any downsides though?
I think always with tools and technology, there are, and I think schools and education sector in general do a good job of staying on top of those things and what are the blind spots with technology and making sure we have safeguards to keep kids safe.
Do you ever wonder, though, if kids are exposed to too much technology and that can take away learning sometimes?
I think the research is getting really interesting around technology use. There's definitely been a lot of research around it from 0 to 5. And just I'm sure when you talk to your pediatrician, you'll get the recommendation of use as little as possible. I think we continue to learn what the right amount of technology is and how to use those tools for learning in the best way for kids that supports their brain health.
And it seems like for some, like you said, waiting longer to use much of that really makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's what the research is telling us. So it's,
It was interesting because someone I know, their family had opted to not let their kids have cell phones until they were 14. And I was thinking about how young sometimes just, you know, at the store or whatever, how young sometimes you see kids are with some of those devices. And, you know, I'm reasonably good at what I do here. I don't claim to be a, you know, child psychologist or anything, but it just seems like, gosh, really? Do they need one of those when they're three or four?
It's a great question. I'm not one either. So I would, you know, I think our pediatricians have some really good guidance on the use of technology. And yeah, so just there's some good research and check it out.
What kind of struggles are your staff seeing in young people as they seek to help them learn these days?
I think this is a national thing. You know, just K-12 students face some complex social issues. You know, they're experiencing stress. Actually, all people experience stress. But as we were just talking about phones, and just thinking about the world that they're entering is different from previous generations. There's a job that is being posted today that didn't exist yesterday. And so just preparing them for that future is... really important, and really supporting kids with strategies to help cope with those life events.
How big an issue is mental health right now for students?
I think it's a big concern. Again, this is a national trend. There's challenges that mental health can make it hard to focus on class. If you think about if you wake up having a rough day, you may not be super focused at work because you're thinking about the thing. I think the good news is that we're talking about it. That's what's different. And I think that we are resourcing our schools and our students and our families in the community with partners who can support kids with these needs.
Now, with less emphasis on a four-year college degree right now, there's been a shift in the last decade or maybe less even. How's that impacting education?
Well, I always like to start with students are our greatest resource in this community. And I think the emphasis is really on career development. So it could be 4-year, it could be an associate's, apprenticeship, certificates. You just mentioned that Rachel's coming in tomorrow to talk about UCC and what they offer. For me, it's about getting youth connected to what excites them, what interests them, and helping them find careers that align with that. I'll give you a great example, early intervention, early childhood, special education. We have, you know, occupational therapists, physical therapists. Kids out there might love working with kids who are under 5, with babies, with toddlers, and want to be a therapist in occupational or physical or speech. And this profession pulls those things together. So it's really just about helping kids see what's out there. And going back to what I said earlier, there's jobs that are going to exist tomorrow that don't exist today. And so just kids focusing on their interests and what excites them is important.
For a lot of people, middle age or slightly above, perhaps, it used to be you'd get into a career, you might stay in it for a long time, and it seems like not only is your career going to shift rapidly if you do, but a lot of people end up with multiple careers throughout their life, and that didn't used to be the case.
Yeah, I think the millennials and Gen Z are approaching their career span a little differently. I think they're also a little longer because 30 years was the mark, and now folks are working a lot longer than that. And so, we see it in our organization where folks might be on a second career, or we might be their first career, and they go off to do something else.
What are the biggest challenges you have right now?
I think in education, there are a lot of moving parts. And our job as educators is just to listen and understand those needs and those tools. I think, as I mentioned, staffing for those hard-to-fill positions and SPED and behavioral health as well are challenges. But I think we've got ideas and ways to help make those things work better.
And what are you looking forward to the most this year?
This is what I look forward to. Students like discovering their joy of learning and embracing curiosity. You can see the teacher in me is still there. And their passion for ways to, you know, make their learning meaningful. And just finding moments of connection and laughter and inspiration in their school experiences. And equally just the creativity of my staff to innovate and find fresh approaches to help kids. So those are two pretty cool things that I get to witness every year.
And if people want to find out more about what ESD offers, what's your website?
DouglasESD.edu.
All right, from the Douglas Educational Service District, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
All right, 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.